Welcome to the Joey and Amanda podcast. I'm Joey.
And I'm Amanda.
Hope you are all healthy and doing well.
We miss you guys.
We did miss you guys. We got a lot to catch you up on.
Yes.
Let me just start by saying.
Past 2 days.
I'm going to first say we're running on fumes right now.
Yeah.
And the reason is because last night our real estate agent sent us a house late last night.
Yeah.
And we freaked out about it.
Can I tell the story a little?
Sure.
I'll start it.
Yeah.
So we're sitting on the couch and Joey, every time we get a new house, he's always very quickly optimistic, which is amazing. I love him for it. He's like, this is great. And then I look at him like, no, but there's this or whatever. So I'm so used to you always doing that. Mm-hmm. So last night, and then I look at it and, you know, it's, I don't love it. And then you don't either. You just say it because you see the first two pictures.
And then right when I hear you say, what? This isn't, and I'm like, oh yeah, no. This isn't, I totally agree. Yep. No. Thought that the whole time.
So he says that. And he's like, oh my gosh, this house, it's really great. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then I keep like working on whatever I was working on. And then
it kept growing. I was like, no, this is really something.
And I'm just like, okay, wait a second. Let me look at this.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I looked it up. Then we looked it up together. And we were like, oh, this is the house. It's amazing. Oh my gosh. It's so great. Mm-hmm. It has everything we're looking for, which can I just say is wild because for every, and I'm not joking when I say this, I sound like a little bit nuts, but every single day I have been looking at the past house.
Yeah.
The one that we talked about that has an amazing backyard that we put an offer in, but she took it off the market randomly.
And let me also say, you think about it every hour of every day.
I do.
And you tell me every second of every day, that's our house. That's going to be our house. I'm living in the house in my brain.
I know. Every morning, every night. And during my, we have a, well, a lot of you guys know we have a bike in here, a stationary bike. And every time I go on the bike, what do? I pull up the video of the house and I watch it on repeat. Like, who does that? I watch it on repeat while I'm working out. And I'm like, this is the house. This is the house.
Yeah.
So anyways, I've been doing that every day. Just, you know, looking at the video, imagining myself in it. And then we see this one.
Yeah.
And I get that thing. Like, I get bit by like an excitement bug, and it happens to me a lot. When I'm excited, when I have an idea that just pops into my brain, I get so excited. I can't sleep. I can't sleep.
I will say when you saw this house, it was the most excited you had ever been when you saw a house online.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, so we were very excited. We told our real estate agent, let's go see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, that was it. I go off to bed. I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up at 2-3 in the morning, and Amanda's not there.
Which we went to the bed together.
Yes.
We fell asleep.
At the same time.
Well, I didn't fall asleep.
Well, I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hello? Where are you? And you're, and from way in the living room, I hear, I'm in here. Like wide awake. So I go in and you were photoshopping what we could do to this house.
Yeah.
At 2-3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't slept.
Yeah.
Wide awake. Thinking about the house.
I'm painting the ceiling.
And you say, this is, you're like, look at me. You're like, this is our house. This is our house. We're going to live in this house. This is our house. So I go back to the bed. I go back to sleep. I wake up.
Now, I send you the picture of the Photoshop I did.
Then you had
trouble falling asleep.
Then I had trouble. Then finally, I do get to sleep. And I wake up again as the sun's coming up, I think at like 5:30. And I go to take a sip of the water. And as I'm doing it, I hear you say, hi. And you're like, I haven't slept. So you really did not sleep.
I literally did not sleep. I stayed up till I think I got into bed at like 3:30-ish.
Yeah.
Then I did not sleep until about 5:30. I just staying up and looking at the crime map, checking to see how the crime is, checking to see Google Map, the street. I walked around that neighborhood a couple times virtually. So,
oh man. So we go. So we went. And we saw it today.
So I emailed the realtor again at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh my god,
that's right. You did.
Yes. Yeah, I emailed her again. I was like, we can go as soon.
No, you said you emailed her at like 1 a.m. and you said we'll go early.
Really?
Yeah, that you emailed her 1 a.m. and all I said is we'll go early.
Everything is jumbled. I was like, we'll go first thing in the morning. That's what I said.
That's right.
And then you know by four a.m. Yeah. I was texting all my friends on the East Coast because they're awake. So I'm like texting my best friend, sending them pictures, my Photoshop, my ideas and everything. We're really excited about this house.
Well, then when we got up and we heard back from our real estate agent, she said that the house is pretty busy today with mm-hmm. people coming to see it. And the soonest we can get there was in the towards the later in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we knew, this
which
is,
I already had. You feeling. Already knew. I knew. Yeah, that's why I said I need to see it first thing in the morning because I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I can just tell. I've been studying houses in the market for years. And when I saw this house, I was like, we need to go in. We need to go fast. Yeah. And we need to make an offer.
Let me just say my favorite part of this day really quickly. Mm-hmm. And it does require a little bit of backstory. And I'm sorry. I know a lot of you have heard this so many times, but I feel like it's necessary to tell the whole story. So, my grandmother really loved hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. And when she passed away, I started to see hummingbirds a lot. Uh-huh. And they would come at random times. Mm-hmm. For example, when Amanda and I went to see the wedding venue that we really wanted, we got there, we pulled in, we got out of the car, we walked up to the venue, and we looked up, and there were two hummingbirds flying exactly above us. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but they followed us around the entire day we were there.
Yeah.
It followed us on the golf cart ride. Mm-hmm. It was really unbelievable.
Yeah, it was so nice.
And then fast forward.
And we both immediately thought it at the same time. We got the same feeling.
At the venue. We grabbed each other. We're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We hadn't even seen it yet. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, then we had that amazing experience with Bree.
Mm-hmm. So for people that haven't listened to that episode, she's known as a medium named Bree.
Yeah.
We talk about the afterlife and Joey was able to connect with his grandmother through her. Mm-hmm. And she did tell us, this was way before we started seeing houses.
Yeah.
She told us that, don't worry, the house that's yours, you are going to see a sign.
Yeah.
So every time we have seen these houses that we're obsessed with,
yeah.
we're always looking for like a hummingbird and a sign. So Joey's mom will say, did you see a hummingbird though? And they were like, no, we didn't see it. But we heard a lot of birds.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So we're like,
we're stretching for things.
We're stretching, yeah.
Right. So, and then actually after we had that experience with Bree, that conversation with her that day, while Amanda and I were talking about that experience, a hummingbird came to our window.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I have like goosebumps in the back of my mm-hmm. neck just talking about it. So fast forward, we get there today. We get out of the car. We meet our real estate agent in front of the house. And as we walk up to it, I look up and there are two hummingbirds.
They weren't even like in a tree.
No.
They were literally above us. First,
they were literally fluttering above our heads. Mm-hmm. And I look up and I see them and they flew to a pole. Mm-hmm. And they sat on the pole and I was totally speechless for the first, I was the only one who saw it at first and I was totally speechless. All I could go was, and our real estate agent was like, she was like, oh yeah, hummingbirds. Like she didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she's like, what, the hummingbirds?
yeah, right. And then once Amanda saw too, we freaked out. We told her the whole story too.
And last night, while I was just laying in bed, I thought, okay, if this is a house, we're going to see the hummingbird.
Yeah.
Because that's the sign.
Yeah. And we've seen, I don't know, 6 or 7 houses.
Yeah.
And we've never seen a hummingbird.
Especially, you know, the interesting part is, especially in the last house, that one.
It would have been the house.
Would have been where there would be a hummingbird because.
Right. There were so many birds.
There were so many plants and flowers. And I mean, that backyard was just, that's been growing for so many years.
Yeah.
But yeah, no hummingbird in that house. We were stretching it. We're like, well, there's a lot of birds, so that's a sign. So with that being said, mm-hmm. it feels like this is the house.
Well, we go in, it's everything that we want.
Yeah.
in this house.
Yes. It's also the size is great. It's the biggest one. It's the biggest house that we've been to.
Yeah.
All the little things that we wanted, like, you know what? It would be cool to have a coat closet as soon as you come in. So for shoes, and we'll just build it, we would say.
Right.
For shoes and coats, we'll just build that.
Right.
Or, but this one has it.
Right.
Or we're like, you know what? For the pool, we should have like a pool bathroom specifically with a door to the backyard.
Yeah.
But all the other houses didn't have it. We're like, oh, we'll just build that. So like in our minds, we wanted to just build all these things to add on to the other houses and try to like fit in them in a way. We're like, well,
that's a good point.
This doesn't really have this room for our podcast studio.
Maybe we'll use
it in the garage or in our bedroom, like
right.
things like that. Because
this has it. This has all of those,
everything
that you just named. This has it.
Yeah. We would have the studio. We'd have the podcasting studio. We'd have the baby room. We have our room. Like,
not to mention a freaking beautiful backyard.
Yeah, with a pool. And oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
All right. So here's where we stand, everybody. We're going to put an offer in, and we're not going to know until Friday. So this week is going to be just.
Yeah. Got to keep
staring at phones. We'll
keep ourselves busy.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I've been so excited that I ordered so many moving boxes.
Yeah, we're staring at them
right
now,
actually. We are staring. We have moving boxes all over our home, and we don't move till the end of August. But I was just so excited. Definitely prematurely ordered them. But I feel like a little kid on, you know, on a holiday morning.
I know.
I think that this is the one. I really, really do. If it's not, I have learned in this process, and if you're going through this too, that there's always going to be another one.
Yes.
There always is. It's wild that we saw the first one. We got so attached. We were living in it in our brains.
Like, it caused tears.
Yeah, I cried when we didn't get it. And then we saw the next one. We're like, whoa, I can't believe we're going to move on that one. This one's so much better.
Yeah.
And then this didn't go through.
And it's happened again.
And now there's this one, like, this is the best one.
Right.
So if it's not,
I believe that if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And if it's not, it's not. So we just have to keep trusting that.
Yeah, we'll keep trusting that. But I think this is the one.
Yeah, you do. We have to talk about the state of our country right now.
Yes, and why we didn't have a podcast episode last week. A lot of you guys reached out to us.
Yeah, we thought it was respectful just to take last week to let other voices be heard and to listen and learn as much as we could in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And to be totally honest, I'm a little bit nervous right now to talk, and I hope I don't say the wrong thing anywhere, and I certainly don't mean to speak for anyone else other than myself, but as someone who has benefited from the systems that are in place, you know, as someone who has been privileged and just found out about the reality of what truly is going on, I feel like it is my duty to speak out.
Yeah.
Because we're in a really important moment right now in our country and in our country's history and in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, you too are voicing your support for these systemic changes that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's on social media or to your friends or your family or to your neighbors or just learning and listening and doing research and educating yourself as I did last week.
Yeah.
And I've definitely been doing that for the past 2 weeks.
Can I just say that Joey has, I mean, I don't even know how to really put it into words. He has been talking, living, breathing, studying, talking, reading ever since everything happened.
Yeah.
Joey has been just reading, talking about it, studying, researching, listening to podcasts, just really educating himself on white privilege, white fragility, and all of that. And it's just been great to see how passionate you are about it and how outspoken you have been, because I've known you for a while, and Joey is somebody that cares a lot about other people's feelings and is very sensitive sometimes to speak out. And you do it with the best intentions. Mm-hmm. There's ever something going on, you usually let it pass. But this is something that you know, we have marched for the environment. We have marched for women's rights.
Yep.
But the most passion I've ever seen and the most that I've seen you like learn and grow has been for this movement.
Yeah.
So it's just been really cool to see.
Thank you for saying that.
Of course.
And yeah, as I said, I was completely oblivious to the systematic advantage that I was given as a white person. And, you know, I had a huge head start in life and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
That's privilege. That's what privilege is. I've never feared for my life when I see a cop. I've never been put down because of the color of my skin, never been denied entry or for a job or for a credit card or whatever because of the color of my skin. I didn't grow up in a neighborhood that was over-policed in terms of like drugs and arrests and under-policed in terms of safety and guidance. And on top of all that, underfunded. Mm-hmm. And so it has to be, in my opinion, it has to be the people who have been benefiting from this broken system that need to be the ones on the forefront speaking out for change.
Mm-hmm.
In order for this to be the tipping point, that's what it has to be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't even say broken system, actually. The system's working just fine. And that's the problem. This is what the system's meant to do.
Yeah.
And that's where it needs to change. We need to tear it down and build a new one, like a new criminal justice system, a new policing system, a new housing system, education system, but especially policing. You know, we can't have some bad cops. It's like we can't have some bad pilots.
Yeah.
Like United Airlines doesn't have like a couple bad pilots, some bad pilots. That would never happen. So, you know, that's what defund the police means. I want to talk about that for a little bit. Okay. Is that cool?
Yeah, great.
So, you know, defunding the police, it sounds like getting rid of the police. But to my knowledge, that is not at all what it is. We have 1.7 million students in school with cops but no counselors. We have 3 million students in schools with cops but no nurses. We have 6 million students in schools with cops but no school psychologists. We have 10 million students in schools with cops but no social workers. 10 million.
Yeah.
And so police are forced to deal with issues that they are not qualified to deal with, like mental illness, depression, abuse, etc.
Yeah. A lot of the times we'll call the police instead of calling.
Exactly.
A nurse or psychologist.
Exactly. And it's a cycle then. Mm-hmm. And then you go to jail and that's your life then.
Yeah.
So you have someone like George Floyd, who is a product of the system. You know, his best friend, Steven Jackson, who was a NBA player, they grew up together. And when George died, Steven Jackson said something on TV that I didn't understand until now. He said, "We came from the same place, but I made it." And I didn't know what exactly he meant by that. And what he was saying was he was good at basketball. That's it. I've heard too many times people saying, "Well, yeah, but George Floyd was a criminal." Who isn't when you're a part of that system? I've had so many friends who have been busted for weed. I got busted for weed when I was in high school. You know what happened when I got busted for weed? The police called my mom and she came and picked me up and I went home.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it. There are black people in jail right now for the same thing, and weed is legal on top of all of that.
Yeah.
And so, so these changes seem really big, right? Like they seem like when I'm having these conversations with people, and I'll get to that. These seem like, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
These changes seem so systematic, which they are.
Yeah, and they are very deep, and they've been in place for a very long time.
So that is why we protest. That's why we march. That's why we have conversations, and we learn, and we sign petitions, and we vote. The rapper and activist Killer Mike, he said we have to bully the politicians at the voting booth. Remember, they work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So if the majority of people want something, that's what the politicians are going to offer.
Yeah.
That's how we get stuff done. That's how we get stuff changed. But I think it starts on an individual level with each one of
us. Also education.
Yeah.
That it's very deep too. We were never really taught to vote that much in school,
right?
Or how important it is to vote. Like, they'll give us a sticker and they would say, "Oh, voting is good," but right. They never told us. I never learned in school the difference that you can make by voting.
Totally.
Like the actual difference. And if we don't, what are the consequences? So I think that
that's why this last election, we had one of the lowest numbers of young voters ever.
Yeah.
So I think what we have, and when I say we, I'm speaking as like, I think white people, mm-hmm. I think we have an empathy problem right now. And a lot of that is due to, like you said, the lack of knowledge and education about the true history of black people and the systems that were put into place many years ago and that are still in place today.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oblivious. And a lot of people still are. And the way I think that we were taught about racism, it's not working. So I think we have to find a new way to educate each other right now.
Yeah.
I've started to have conversations with my friends, with other white people that I grew up with, and some of them are having a hard time understanding. Now, at the same time, people learn at different times and different speeds, and I understand that I have to keep reminding myself of that.
Yeah, and I think it's important that, you know, if you understand more and you're frustrated at somebody, it is delicate because you don't want to attack somebody either to the point where they close down. You want to have like open and comfortable conversations.
Right.
So I do think, you know, that's very important.
Yeah. I mean, for one conversation, for example, it took me having to say, what if the police thought that they could sort of treat Jewish boys who look like us like garbage and get away with it with no repercussions? And we were screaming to the world about these injustices and nobody was listening.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed to strike a nerve, which,
look,
that conversation shouldn't have had to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's even ridiculous that white people are debating this.
Yeah.
We should just be able to listen and learn and feel. And what's incredible about this is it took no sports, no shows, no concerts, no going out to lead to this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. I saw somebody wrote that it's like a divine intervention.
What do you mean?
That it took the pandemic to get to this moment.
Oh.
To get to this, what we think is the tipping point.
Yeah.
It took, you know, that people say, like, what's different about this than 2014 with Michael Brown and Ferguson. Mm-hmm. What's different from Charleston?
Yeah, the pandemic
is baked
into all of this.
I think it's the pandemic, and it's also the domino effect of what's happened in the last 2 months with Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, the incident in New York City at the park.
So many people losing their jobs.
Right, and then George Floyd was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, and that straw also happened to be a horrific video. Mm-hmm. That sort of symbolized and encapsulated what is really happening here. So we can't let this moment go to waste like we have in the past. And you see the turnouts at the protests, and it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives hope that there will be change. So we have to vote, and we have to keep having conversations and learning and showing empathy and compassion, even in 2 weeks from now. In 3 weeks from now, and when the news stops covering it, we have to keep the conversation going.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to support the Black-owned small businesses, you know, in our communities.
Yeah. And I just also wanted to say, so, you know, if you think that posting something won't do anything or saying anything out loud to your friends won't change anything, I think you're wrong. Because your opinion and your voice matters, and it can sway somebody else and help someone else see a new perspective. And what we're seeing is solidarity is so powerful right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to two protests here in Los Angeles, and they were both peaceful and powerful.
Yeah.
And I think...
And it's something you can't feel by seeing the videos, watching the news, or looking at a picture. You have to be there to feel how powerful and emotional and beautiful it is that everybody's coming together in the midst of the pandemic and just helping each other out and being there for one another. And I think it is beautiful to see how many people care so much.
Yeah. And I'll get to the protesting in a second, the details of what's been going on around the world with the protesting in a second. But I just wanted to reiterate, you know, if you are white and you look like me, then you have benefited greatly from a rigged system. And the only thing, in my opinion, to do now is to use that privilege to speak up and demand change so that everyone can have the same privilege that you had, that we had. It's with liberty and justice for all. We all said that every day when we were kids in the classroom. And it's sad because it wasn't true.
Yeah.
But it can be.
Yeah. And I have hope that it will be.
I do too.
I think this is definitely going to go down in history. And every time something like this happens, it's horrendous. It's horrible. But I do think that it brings people closer and we keep evolving as humans and something opens up in a lot of our brains and it's like we level up as a society. And it's really nice and amazing to see.
Yeah. I mean, it really feels like this is the tipping point. Mm-hmm. It really does. And I wanted to say that I had one person in my life who I was having a conversation with, you know, we were having a back and forth and they said to me, well, what do protests even do? Why are people even protesting? And I would like to share a couple of things if that's okay.
Yeah.
What's changed since the protests started.
And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening, you know exactly what protests do, but this is for those people which do exist that don't understand it.
Yeah, and I that's a good point to bring up. I know that a lot of you listening are saying what I'm saying, but I feel like I have to speak to those that maybe don't.
Or this is also good, and I'm so glad that you're going to talk about this because sometimes we forget if we're having this conversation how to answer correctly and know the answer to everything. I know for me, sometimes I forget my brain doesn't remember certain laws or details unless I'm studying every day like I do with art for some reason. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So since protesting began, charges were upgraded against Officer Chauvin and his accomplices were arrested and charged. Since protesting began, Breonna Taylor's case was reopened. Minneapolis banned use of chokeholds. Dallas adopted a duty to intervene rule that requires officers to stop other cops who are engaging in inappropriate use of force. New Jersey's attorney general said the state will update its use of force guidelines for the first time in two decades. Los Angeles City Council introduced motion to reduce LAPD's $1.8 billion operating budget, and I'll add that I think there will be more that will be taken out because of all the people putting pressure on Garcetti to do so. Police brutality captured on cameras leads to near immediate suspensions and firings of officers in several cities like Buffalo and Fort Lauderdale. Monuments celebrating Confederates are removed for the first time in cities in Virginia, Alabama, and other states.
So good.
The street in front of the White House is renamed Black Lives Matter Plaza. So Donald Trump's new address right now is on Black Lives Matter Plaza.
Oh, really?
How great is that?
Wow.
And then there's other stuff. There's, you know, the difficult public and private conversations that are happening about race and privilege like this one. The realizations some white people are coming to about racism and the role of policing in this country, like I have. Self-reflection that people have had, the internal battles exploding within organizations over issues that have been simmering or ignored for a long time, like the NFL. Wolfgang Ischinger, a former German ambassador to the U.S., told The New Yorker, people all over the world understand that their own fights for human rights, for equality and fairness, will become so much more difficult to win if we are going to lose America as the place where I Have a Dream is a real and universal political program. In France, protesters marched holding signs that said, I can't breathe, to signify both the words of Floyd and the last words of Adama Traoré, a 24-year-old black man who was subdued by police officers and gasped that sentence before he died outside of Paris in 2016. Mm. In Amsterdam, an estimated 10,000 people filled the Amsterdam Square on Monday, holding signs and shouting popular chants like Black Lives Matter and No Justice, No Peace. In Germany, people gathered in multiple locations throughout Berlin to demand justice and to fight against police brutality. In Ireland, protesters held a peaceful demonstration outside of Belfast City Hall, and others gathered outside the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Dublin. Mm-hmm. In Italy, protesters gathered and marched with signs that said, stop killing black people, say his name, and we will not be silent. In Spain, people gathered to march. In Athens, Greece, protesters took to the streets. In Brussels, protesters were seen sitting in a peaceful demonstration. In Denmark, there were protesters chanting, no justice, no peace. In Canada, protesters were also grieving for Regis Korchinski-Paquet, a 29-year-old black woman who died on last Wednesday after falling from her balcony during a police investigation in her building. I don't know what happened there. In New Zealand, roughly 2,000 people marched to the U.S. embassy chanting and carrying signs demanding justice. Memorials have been built in Mexico City. In Poland, candles and flowers were laid out next to photos of George Floyd outside the U.S. consulate. And in Syria, two artists created a mural depicting Floyd in the northwestern town of Binish on a wall destroyed by military planes.
And all 50 states.
In all 50 states. Tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
So that's what protesting has done. So we got to keep going. We got to keep talking. And next week, hopefully, we'll have a new list of changes that have been made.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I speak for myself here, but I hope that you all join in on the fight for liberty and justice for all people.
And it's never too late.
It's not.
You can always start now.
Remember, people learn at all different times. I started to feel inspired, you know, about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
because a lot of people have, you know, you live in a bubble. Yes. You don't even realize. Yes. You have no idea. Yes. And
that's what I'm seeing with a lot of the people I grew up with, is they are in their bubbles right now, too. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of hiding in their bubbles.
Yeah.
Because it's safe in their bubbles.
Yeah.
And
maybe they haven't even seen it happen in front of them.
Right.
In front of their eyes, because right. In your neighborhood, if it does happen, it's, I don't know. Like you were just saying,
sure.
If you want to tell the story about your neighborhood.
Yeah, sure. So
never, you would have never thought that there was any racism.
No. And I grew up in a very predominantly white town.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what I thought was a very progressive, very liberal town. And yet, at the same time, there was a protest a couple of days ago, and my family went, and they were very moved after hearing people from the town who are black speak and tell stories that we would never have imagined happening in that town.
Yeah.
And we had no idea.
Yeah.
And it makes me so sad. So you're right. So the people who are still in there, who didn't hear those people speak, they don't know. They don't know.
Mm-hmm. Or they know that it happens in other places in the world, but they just haven't heard of anything personally, or maybe people don't talk about it. So I think it's important to have all of these conversations.
Yeah, and I'm going to continue to do so with my community of people that I grew up with, and mm-hmm. and hope that it helps in some way. I think that it has on occasion. But I'm going to continue to do that for sure. So all of that has been on my mind lately. And what a year it's been. 2020. Yeah. 2020 vision. Is that a thing? 2020 vision?
I don't know.
Can that be a thing? 2020, we're all having 2020 vision now?
Oh, Did I just start like that? Has that been done yet? I haven't heard of it. I'm just so filled with emotion just because so many people were saying, oh my God, I'm ready for 2020 to be over and I can't believe this is happening. Mm-hmm. And it's just, call me naive, but I really think everything happens for a reason. Yeah. And I do think that this is the year that we realized how important family is.
Yeah.
We realize how important connection with another person is.
Yes.
Right before this, everybody would hang out, but they'd be on the phone and they wouldn't really appreciate the other right. person's presence as much.
Right.
We
were already saying with the pandemic that there was going to be a whole new appreciation for life and for each other. And now it's a whole new.
And now this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just nice to see everybody come together. And I think that we'll come out of this stronger and it's nice to see how many, I said this already, but it's just nice to see how many people care.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing, one episode.
Yes.
From now on, the elephant in the room here is we haven't talked about.
We haven't.
We just sort of like gradually stepped away from good news.
Yeah.
Trying to see, are you guys going to notice? and you guys noticed. I think, you know, there's a lot going on. And,
yeah, there's a lot going on. It just naturally happened that way. I am glad you guys were here for it. I hope you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. But we love talking to you guys once a week. And I'm excited for Joey's Brain.
Yeah, there'll be occasional Joey's Brain, maybe once or twice a month.
Yeah.
When there's something I got to say or something.
Which I like it like that. There's something about being an artist that it's important to create when you're inspired
right.
or it's important to create when something just hits you.
Right.
Then to have that pressure of creating.
Just to put something
just
out.
Just to put some with the pressure of putting something out.
Yes, for sure.
Which it's different when you're speaking and you're. You know,
right.
Then like, I don't know, when I do something every day, I literally spend hours sitting at my desk
right.
sometimes and something comes, but yeah. I don't know if you're going to sit for hours in front of a mic.
Right. Yeah. So, but they're not going to be gone. They'll be here. They'll be, you know, popping up occasionally here and there. All right. I think you and I are fully asleep right now.
I am a zombie.
I think you've fallen asleep six times since we started talking about the good news
episode. No.
All right. So sending love to all of you. We'll
keep you guys updated because next Wednesday, we'll keep you updated because next Wednesday, we will know if we found our starter home.
Oh, my gosh. Next Wednesday, we will be telling you. All right.
That'll be exciting. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
All right, we will see you all then.
I hope you have a wonderful week.
Yes.
Sending you so much love. Thank you a million times for being so supportive and amazing and being part of our journey and letting us be part of your journey.
Yep. Thank you all so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.